rain, shine, snow, or whatever comes our way. Fox 31 Chief Meteorologist Dave Frazier has you covered. It's Weather Wednesday with Mandy Connell on KOA.
All right, Dave Frazier of Fox 31. How are you doing, my friend? A-Rod forgot. A-Rod forgot to pick you up. Sorry about that. My bad. I should have done that, too. Sorry, Dave Frazier. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing on this Wednesday?
I am doing fine. Waiting. I just said to A-Rod, doesn't it seem that every Weather Wednesday now, we're in the midst of either the middle of something changing or something on the way? I feel like these are very well placed, Dave Frazier, because we got a weather change coming tonight.
Yeah, so I'm actually, if you look off to the west, and I know you guys got that beautiful view up there from the studios, you can actually see the clouds sitting over the Continental Divide, and it's going to be later tonight. I don't think anything arrives in time to impact the evening commute. Even when it does arrive, we just don't think there's going to be a lot of snow to impact driving at all. This is a small storm coming in for us down here. We think Rabbit Ears Pass, US 40, the I-70 corridor could be dealing with some slick conditions later this afternoon and this evening. But down here, our snow is going to go by so fast. It'll be like 8 to 11 o'clock this evening. If there is going to be anything measurable beyond a half an inch to maybe an inch, it's going to be on the south side of town and maybe just south of the airport. Everything north of there is not going to get much of anything. It's going to go by so fast, it's not going to leave anything.
Okay.
And it's funny you say that, because guess what? I'm sitting here making my forecast. Guess when our next chance of snow is?
Do tell.
Next Wednesday.
Of course it is. Of course it is. We have created our own weather pattern just with our relationship on the radio, Dave.
I love it.
I have a question for you from our Centauri Health text line, and I want to urge our people, if you have any weather questions for Dave Frazier, go ahead and text us, 56690. Please be as complete as possible. This one says, since Dave is on today, have you seen the commercial of him making snow cones for his coworkers? It is hilarious. So now I know you're capable of making snow cones, and yet you've never offered us a snow cone, Dave.
Did you see the promo?
I am not. I'm going to look it up on the next commercial break. I just saw that.
Why don't you look it up before you ask me to make you a snow cone?
Oh, okay. Okay, then. I should have probably seen that before I asked that question. I will look that up. Yeah. Okay, so moving on, there is another weather question here. Mandy, please ask Dave what the difference is between the European forecasts and the U.S. forecasts. Is there a difference?
Well, there's computer models that we use as guidance in making our forecast. We generally don't follow one absolutely.
Right.
So we ingest all of them as we look at them. There's a multitude of them. Two of the ones that kind of go head-to-head for long-range forecasting, by that I mean beyond, say, 48 to 72 hours, beyond 2 to 3 days, to get an idea of what we can expect, you know, 5, 6, 7 days, even 10 days out, we use what's called the Global Forecast Model, or the GFS, which is the American model, and, of course, the European model. And they have biases. They're both programmed to do the same thing, and that is to give guidance as to what the future looks like. But they have a different set of parameters, different algorithms, and so sometimes the outputs between them can look different. I will tell you that in years past, the European tended to do better than the American model, but they made some substantial changes in how the American model crunches numbers and looks at the overall atmosphere, and it's gotten better. And so when you look at the two of them together, you get a better picture of what's going on.
Well, I want to ask you, what are the differences? Are they using different technology? Are they using different modeling? I mean, not without getting too geeky, but what are the underpinnings that make them different in the first place? Because it seems like, do you share a lot of science back and forth? I mean, does the U.S. share with, the EU? I mean, how does that flow work?
Yeah, they do, but they have their own, like we have our National Weather Service here, NOAA, and they have a set of parameters that they work off of and stuff. No, a lot of the data is shared. That collectively, the World Meteorological Organization, the WMO, works collectively to, make sure that the weather picture and that the public is protected from weather events on a global basis. So, yes, they're scientists. Everybody's on the same boat. It's not a competition. But there are different ways that the models work. I mean, we've had models in the past that were very crude. food, and they've gotten more refined. And a lot of it has to do with calculations, what kind of data is drawn into the system, how is that data simulated to make it look like what's going to happen in the future. And obviously, there's no one absolute track to get there. So you have different computer models, different scientists sitting in rooms saying, well, what if we try this? Or what if we ingest that? What if we put in surface temperatures? What if we can add in more sea surface temperatures? What if we can add in evaporations? There's a lot of those things that go into the forecast. It's very, the atmosphere is fluid, much like the ocean, and there's just a lot of eddies and things going on that, any one little miss can cause things to be awry. So that's why you look at everything you can. And quite frankly, Mandy, I sit in front of a computer and I have to pick and choose, because I could spend 8 hours just geeking out on data and weather models and never get to a forecast. So
in my experience too, it is also the experience of the actual meteorologist themselves, because when I was in Florida, we had Tropical Storm Wilma. It was Hurricane Wilma, and it was tracking in a certain direction, and they were like, oh, it's going to hit Tampa. One of our younger meteorologists, who I still think is one of the best meteorologists I've ever met in my life, and now he's in Atlanta at WSB, he came up with a different forecast path for that storm than our chief meteorologist. And I got to tell you, it caused a kerfuffle behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
But he was spot on. I mean, he was right down to the square mile where he said the storm was going to make landfall. But that was my first realization that, wow, there's a human factor here as well.
Absolutely. And experience and location plays into that. So the longer you can, if you're getting your weather information on television, the longer you can, the meteorologist on TV has been in that market, they will learn. You won't get bitten twice by a computer model or a weather setup if you got it wrong the last time, because you'll remember that. For instance, I'll give you just a quick, without getting geeky or anything, most computer models here tend to run a little later in showing when a snow event will start. And that's because of our elevation. The cold air comes in a lot faster than the computer expects it to, or it depicts it. So I always open the window up a little earlier. I take into account, so like tonight, the computer model is showing the snow coming off the foothills around Fort Collins at 8 o'clock. When I'm on the air tonight, I'm going to be telling people, be prepared as early as 6.
Okay.
Because it could probably start a little bit earlier. So you open the window up a little more. And you do learn. If you've been in an area for a long time, you can learn. And the great thing about, one of the things that we do at Fox 31 and Channel 2 and Pinpoint Weather is we work collectively as a team so that one person isn't odd man out. We want to have a consensus and a conversation. And that, quite frankly, goes on day to day, shift to shift. No one person is an island on our team. We work collectively so that we can nail down and make sure that the messaging to those watching us is the same and correct, so that you don't hear one person say one thing and one person say another 3 hours later and you're scratching your head going, what's going to happen?
That's interesting. And that's a little peek behind the curtain that I think is really useful, because it's also going to make your younger meteorologist better, having the access to your experience.
Right. And I every time we hire somebody new who has not forecast here in Colorado, I tell them, watch your coworkers, listen, pay attention, ask questions, and don't beat yourself up for the first year. Give yourself 4 seasons and a solid run at how things happen here. And make notes and put them in the back of your brain about, oh, yeah, they talked about that. I saw that. And give yourself a year. Don't beat yourself up. And we're here to support you. So ask away.
That's a great point, Dave. Really quickly, because we're almost out of time, somebody did point out, heard that next Wednesday, you mentioned this, that cold front.
Yep.
This one could be severe and bring some actual snow, unlike the one coming through tonight.
Yeah, so the one coming through tonight, like I mentioned, comes through very fast. It's a northwesterly wind. That's a downsloping wind that doesn't benefit us along the front range. Doesn't mean you can't get snow showers. Doesn't mean they won't look intense for, half an hour, 45 minutes, and leave a half an inch or a little more on the ground. And as I mentioned, I think south and east of Denver is the best chance. Next week, in looking at the American model versus the European, they are both showing similar timing for when the snow starts and when the snow ends. It looks like it's after midnight Tuesday through the day Wednesday and then wrapping up Wednesday night. So we've got consensus there with two of the models. The difference right now is the totals. One of them is running about 1 to 2, 1 to 3. The other one's running more like 2 to 4, 2 to 6.
Okay.
So that's the details. So we'll put a spotlight on next Wednesday, let people know, keep your eye on this part of the 7-day forecast. We'll work out the details, and when we feel comfortable with how much you may have to shovel, we'll let you know.
There you go. Dave Frazier, Fox 31. What a great explanation of how things work. I appreciate that. And we will talk to you again next Wednesday, right in the middle of the snow.
Sounds good to me. Have fun. All right.
Thanks, Dave. So good.